looming federal budget cuts are also raising concerns about housing assistance locally. A growing number of people in Cincinnati and Hamilton County experienced homelessness in 2024, and fewer got the help they needed to stay in stable housing. That's according to Strategies to End Homelessness, a local organization that works to prevent and end homelessness. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss the status of homelessness in Hamilton County and a new resource available to help people at risk of losing their housing are Strategies to End Homelessness President Kevin Finn, Ohio Valley Goodwill Industries Vice President of Community Impact and Investment Gladys Ahovey, and Goodwill's Director of Shelter and Supportive Housing Susie Skeens. Thank you all so much for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. And Susie, you'll have to get pretty close to your microphone. I should have told you that before we were live on the radio.
That's okay.
Kevin, let's talk about the numbers. How many people in Hamilton County experienced homelessness in 2024, and how does that compare to previous years?
We had a little over 6,000 people that experienced homelessness last year, and it has now increased each of the last 2 years after having declined for several years before that. A lot of this is not rocket science. You know, during the COVID pandemic, there were significant resources available for homelessness prevention that expired when those COVID funds expired. So it's not really a surprise that homelessness went down when those resources were available, nor is it necessarily a surprise that we've seen an increase since those resources went away.
And Kevin, many of us think about homelessness as people who have no shelter at all. How did those numbers change in 2024, unsheltered people?
Well, typically when I say homeless, I mean people that are in one of three situations. They're either unsheltered on the street, they are a resident of an emergency shelter, or they are fleeing domestic violence. While the shelter numbers have remained somewhat steady, the unsheltered numbers are the ones that have really increased in the last few years. We have a relatively small percentage of our homeless population that is unsheltered on the street, but that group has grown from about 12% of the homeless population to almost 20% of the homeless population, and the number of people unsheltered has almost doubled over the last 2 years. Shelters have a fixed capacity, so when all of a sudden homelessness increases, there aren't necessarily more beds for people to go into. So we've disproportionately seen that increase in people unsheltered on the streets.
And local shelters in Hamilton County stay pretty full most of the time, don't they?
They stay very full. Yeah. And some of them particularly will, like Shelter House, will expand to help meet the need. But most shelters don't have the ability to do that. So we have a fixed capacity. And the more demand there is, the more people becoming literally homeless, the more people we end up seeing on the street.
Kevin, when we're talking about unsheltered people, people who are on the street, are those mostly individual adults, or are you seeing families who are unsheltered in Hamilton County too?
Historically, it has mainly been single individuals, but we have known for years, families that are unsheltered try very hard to stay out of sight for fear that their children will be taken away. So last year, we started a new street outreach program that was specifically targeted at finding families that were sleeping unsheltered, sleeping in their cars, and that sort of thing. And as a result of that new program, in 2023, we only found 11 families that were sleeping outside on the street. In 2024, it was 231 or 232 families that we found outside on the street. Part of that is likely an increase, but part of it is the new street outreach program that we were doing a better job of finding them, but clearly not something we were hoping to find.
Yeah. I have another question for you, Kevin, before our other guests join the conversation, and that is, there are so many cuts happening or being proposed at the federal level. What, if any, impact do you expect that to have on homelessness locally and the services that can be offered?
So, you know, today we have between 2,500 and 2,600 people in Hamilton County who previously were on the street or in a shelter who we have managed to get into an apartment, but we're supporting them until they're with some rental subsidy until they're ready to take over paying the rent themselves. So that's 2,500 people that, if the federal government dollars were to stop flowing, could very quickly find themselves back on the street because they were homeless before we got them into an apartment. You know, on any given night, we have about 800 or 850 people who are homeless. So having 2,500 more join their ranks all at once would mean an immediate, huge increase in the number of people that are literally homeless. Mm.
Susie, what has Goodwill been seeing with your shelter and supportive housing programs? Have you seen an increase in the need?
Thank you, Lucy. Yes, we have significantly seen an increase in the need, not just for housing, but for additional supports for the people that we serve. Last year, we served a total of 137 in our transitional housing and in our rapid rehousing program. And not only have we seen a tremendous need shift, we've also seen a shift in the landscape of the individuals that and families that we are serving. For instance, in the past, most of the individuals that we served were dealing with mental health symptoms, struggling with addiction, and trying to navigate the system that helped with those supports. Now it's more families that just can't afford their rents and afford their food stability and afford the utilities. So it's been a shift in the certain areas that people were struggling with to now it's just more encompassing of a lot of the citizens in our area.
We're talking about how homelessness increased in Hamilton County in 2024 and resources available to help people who are about to lose their housing. Do you have questions or comments? Call 513-419-7100 or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Kevin, Susie just mentioned something like prevention services and trying to help folks. And you've told me many times it's much less expensive and much less traumatic for people to help them avoid homelessness in the first place rather than helping people find housing after they've been homeless. How many people got help through prevention services in 2024 and how has that changed from previous years?
Well, the number of people receiving prevention services has really dropped through the floor. So, you know, you figure the COVID funds that were available for emergency rental assistance and shelter diversion services basically ran out in the second half of 2023 or during 2024. So much fewer people have been getting those resources, which is why we're seeing an increase in homelessness. A perfect example is the shelter diversion program, which we operate with in partnership with the Free Store Food Bank and Bethany House. That program served over 1,100 people in 2023 and only 600-some people in 2024, and that was basically due to the expiration of the COVID funding.
It wasn't that fewer people needed the help. It was just that there was not money to help them?
No, if anything, there were more people that needed the help, but there was less capacity to serve them.
Gladys, I want to get to some, I guess, positive news about all this. Ohio Valley Goodwill began offering new walk-in homeless prevention services this month. Explain what's new.
Sure. So we're really excited about this. To Kevin's point, there is no shortage of individuals looking for support. We have been historically working with individuals that are referred to us through coordinated entry. So it's quite difficult to be able to assist someone that just shows up at our door. But every day, people show up at Goodwill looking for work, looking for support, not just to donate and not just to shop. And we didn't really have a way to triage that. And so through this new service, there is a navigator, a resource specialist available Monday to Friday, either by phone or in person, who can sit down and talk to that individual. And usually through those conversations, homelessness or navigating a housing issue is one element of many that they are dealing with. By coming to us and through this service, we can really eliminate the number of steps, additional steps that people need to go through to figure out how to start embarking on addressing those issues. And so Susie is leading a fantastic team of individuals that are really talented and just so incredibly knowledgeable and empathetic that they can take the complexity out of of this for individuals when they come to see us. Sometimes it does mean referring to the CAP line. It does mean reaching out to other partners like Found House or other partners. But it starts with a conversation, and a conversation that takes the shame and complexity out of what people are dealing with. So we're really excited to be able to say, come and talk to us. Come and talk to us, and we're happy to sit down and talk to you. Early intervention is really where our focus is, as early as possible. And as Kevin mentioned, that is an extremely limited service in our service structure, in this ecosystem of providing housing assistance and homelessness prevention. Early intervention and the prevention services are not something that is really funded. And so even though we know it is far less expensive to help someone avoid becoming homeless, we really only have in our ecosystem dedicated resources to support people when they're already in the system. And it takes much longer and many more dollars to get them out. And we really feel like where we can add value is in that navigation support, you know, really piggybacking off of existing services, but starting off with that conversation and leveraging the other services that we have in-house at Goodwill, like our Good Works Pathways, workforce development, skills training, as well as our Good Life services that supports individuals with developmental and intellectual challenges as well.
Yeah. Kevin, I want to let you weigh on it. And before, I know you've got something to add to that, but could you explain what the CAP line is for listeners who might not be familiar?
The Central Access Point, or 381-SAFE, is a helpline that people can call to get information about what shelters are available, what prevention programs are available, that sort of thing. I'm really excited about what Goodwill is doing because, you know, a lot of times if we can catch people early, all they really need is a knowledgeable person, somebody who knows what the resources are that are out there in the community and can connect them to those resources. They don't necessarily always need a rent check or, you know, help finding a new apartment or something like that. They just need to be connected to resources in the community. So that sort of system navigation work that Goodwill is providing is definitely going to fill a gap in the system.
Susie, explain how that works. What does it look like if somebody walks into this opportunity center you all have now? And also explain where that is and what kind of help people can get.
Sure. Our opportunity center is in our Woodlawn location, which is 10600 Springfield Pike. And what they can expect when they walk in is for someone who is knowledgeable about the system and also someone who has maybe have had lived experience that person is experiencing. They'll be able to come in, sit down, and we'll offer a cup of coffee, a snack, and let's just talk about what you're experiencing right now as an individual, as a family, because the needs are separate and different. For those who walk in and are interested in, let's see what Goodwill is doing new and exciting now, the next step would be, let me introduce you to some of our colleagues that are also here to help with housing stability through workforce development. So they can expect a conversation and a friendly person who's willing and ready to help them navigate some of the circumstances in life that they're experiencing.
Yeah, Kevin, you were just talking about the importance of that navigation, and Gladys referred to the system that refers people to different agencies. How important is it to have a place where somebody can just walk in and get that help? Because it can be complicated to try to figure this out, to navigate this on your own, especially when you're in the stressful situation that you're about to lose your housing. And my understanding is there's still a lot more people who need help than there is help available, right?
The strength of a good homeless services system is that you have a variety of options to help meet people's needs. You know, for some people who need assistance with connection to resources, you know, for some people, it might be easiest to pick up the phone and talk to somebody at the Central Access Point helpline or something like that. But for other people who really need to interact with somebody face-to-face and get to know somebody who's going to help to connect them to resources, what Goodwill is offering will be a huge improvement because there is no walk-in component to the Central Access Point helpline. It's strictly over the phone. So again, what Goodwill is doing will definitely fill a gap.
Gladys, how many people does Goodwill hope to serve through this expansion that's specifically around the housing work that you do during your first year, or do you have some goals in mind?
We do. We have some pretty ambitious goals in mind for 2025. Our goal is to be able to assist at least 130 people in 2025. With early intervention supports. And that would include connecting them to additional services, connecting them to employment, or connecting them to some kind of skills training or food security support. Those are the main things that we are seeing in terms of requests for support for people that are coming through. They need to work. They need to stabilize their family. And the only other one, actually, which is increasingly coming up, is childcare. These are all stabilizing elements. If you want to be able to keep your job, you got to make sure your kids are taken care of. You have to be able to feed them. You got to make sure you got a stable place to live. All of these things are showing up in different ways at different times, but individuals tend to have to navigate all of them at the same time. Each one of those elements are unique systems. And so what we're trying to do is take away the challenges in navigating each one of those systems. We will talk to you about the first thing you talk to us about. But through that conversation, we're going to be peeling away those layers and figuring out this is actually more of a priority here. Let's get this taken care of, and then we'll move on to this one. Or while you focus on that, we'll help you with this. Ultimately, those 130 people that come through our offices and our conversations in 2025, each one, at each conversation, they should be leaving it with feeling like they are progressing towards their resolution. There's one less thing that they have to worry about as a result of engaging with us. So we really are excited about this sort of no wrong door opportunity that we're presenting through our opportunity centers. In many cases, opportunity centers would expand out of Woodlawn and be coupled with our retail locations. So deeply rooted in community, it is where you shop, it is where you donate, it's also where you can get service, where you can get support. And so we're really excited about this. We're encouraging people to follow the journey, get involved, partner with us. If there's something that you can add to this service in terms of helping us get the word out to individuals, we're open to it. Talk to us. We're really excited about working with strategies to help fill those early intervention gaps for folks and expanding it beyond Hamilton County as well.
Susie, you talked before about how what you're hearing is changing from people who come in, how they kind of end up in this spot where they're sort of panicked and they think, I might lose my housing. Can you tell us any more about that? Are there other common threads that you're hearing from people who are seeking help from Goodwill?
Mm-hmm. Yes. One of the other things is that where people were employed before, they were making enough of an income to be able to sustain their family. That may not be the case now. So workforce development is critical in helping a person move on their pathway in their career so that they can afford and be able to sustain the housing component for their family. And one of the things that at Goodwill we are so excited about is being able to provide that to our community, because our community has given so much to us over the years, and to be able to provide that right back into the community, because these services are funded by Goodwill, that adds that extra momentum for our program that, yes, we want to be able to say we are so invested in our community.
Kevin, you talked about how this new program really does fill a gap that's out there. But am I correct that, you know, a lot of people fill the cap line, but if shelters are full, if there's no money for prevention, not everybody can get help. What are the percentages of people who are seeking help? You know, the number of people who are seeking help, what percentage of those people can actually get help through the system with the resources that are available now?
Well, you know, the saddest part of my job is that rather than us simply providing services to everyone who needs them, we are forced as a system to prioritize people who needs the service the most, kind of thing. There are simply not enough resources. And that is true for all services, whether you're talking about shelter, whether you're talking about shelter diversion, there just simply is not enough capacity to serve everyone. In the homelessness prevention space, that is even worse because, as you and I have discussed in the past, our federal government does not fund homelessness prevention. So anything and everything that we can do to improve the system, specifically in terms of prevention activities, the gaps are large and need to be filled.
So where does that money come from? Was it there were local dollars that were helping with that when there was a lot of pandemic money flowing, right?
The largest funder is the federal government. So
for prevention, though?
Not for prevention. During COVID, it was the federal government, but all those dollars have gone away. You know, the city of Cincinnati and Hamilton County have been really good about trying to put additional resources to prevention. You know, the county very generously put $3 million into shelter diversion. Well, you know, we get over $30 million a year from the federal government, and not one dime of that are we allowed to spend on prevention. So while it's great that the county and the city fund prevention, the pockets just aren't as deep. We could really use some flexibility with the federal funding to not just help people after they're homeless, but also help them when they're at risk.
Kevin, you just talked about the saddest part of your job. I guess I'm wondering, we've talked about a lot of numbers, a lot of increase in needs. Certainly, there's a bright spot here with what Goodwill is trying to do to fill that gap. Where do you find hope in all this?
Homelessness tends to be a short-term crisis. I mean, a lot of people perceive that people are homeless for years and years and years. The average person is actually homeless for about 60 days. And because it's a short-term crisis, short-term interventions can make a big difference. So what Goodwill is doing is, you know, a relatively short-term intervention to connect people to resources. And that very often is all it takes to keep people from ever becoming homeless or to even get them out of homelessness once they get there.
Susie, you're shaking your head pretty vigorously. Is that where you find hope, those being able to make those connections and help people get that little boost they need?
Yes. I think that system navigation is so huge for some individuals. Honestly, if I were not in the position that I am, I would not be able to navigate this system when you look at it through fresh eyes. And I don't think that's necessarily the design. I just think that people need some assistance at that point while they're trying to navigate the rest of their lives and manage getting the kids ready for school and preparing the lunches and making sure everything's ready and then go to work and try to make enough money to budget everything at the end of the month. And that can cause a lot of stressors. And those stressors can inhibit a person from really making those good life choices. So that's one of the things that we want to assist with, too. Let us help you to kind of find our pathway together through the process.
Yeah. Gladys, starting with 130 more people this year, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. At least.
At least. Okay. Okay. Well, I've been talking with Strategies to End Homelessness President Kevin Finn, Ohio Valley Goodwill Industries Vice President of Community Impact and Investment, Gladys Ahovey, and Goodwill's Director of Shelter and Supportive Housing, Susie Skeens. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having us. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.